Test, test. Actually, the speaker, so you want to move this up some? Still need a little bit more.
Well, you know, there's a part of me that, in a way,
you don't have to ride around and check the goddamn.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That makes sense. I wonder who's taking minutes today. I hope to God it's not me, but if it is, I'll do my best. Yes, I just spoke to Sheree already and told her you better be prepared because it will come out. But right now they're saying, well, immediate dismissal.
Hello.
Yeah. So at this point in time, I'm fed up. This petty crap in this park has got to stop. We all live, we're all residents, and we all need to get along or get the hell out. Sorry. And if that's rude, then I apologize.
I noticed that.
Thanks a lot.
Get your stuff together, Jim. Thank you.
You know, I don't recognize food because of it.
I thought we had three. What happened to the third one? I could have sworn we had three. Well, I know that. I know that. But he's not even doing that anymore either, unless he changed his mind after last week. Yeah, I've got his handwritten one. There was a suggestion made that when we start talking about what's up here, if we need to maybe we're not going to dim the lights over that. In fact, I can ask her. Is this what's going to be seen on Zoom? It was a suggestion if we dim the lights a little bit, that might make it more visibly appealing. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, ma'am, we sure can. Yes, ma'am, we sure can. We sure can.
Okay.
I love this. This is awesome. No, because the chat can be BS. And I don't think we need to see the BS. I've been on there sometimes where I saw the chat and it was pretty fast. Yeah, that would be great. Are you kidding me? You know, I don't have a problem with activity. Everybody gets it. I would love to take things. But I mean, my meeting is kind of forming up. But my help. And after the meeting. But yeah, you make a commitment to something, you can be here.
I love your screen saver.
No, you're getting close to that.
We won't have a picture of her because she doesn't have a camera set up, but she should have audio.
Hi, Margaret, can you hear me? Margaret, if you can hear me. Oh, she's connected.
Thank you.
All the other crap.
Yeah. How's your wife doing, Jack? Good. They're talking about a deal with me and my Harvard. I have had aphid for years. I got a pacemaker. They talk about a motion pocket, which is like a little pocket in your heart for blood to pool. So yeah, so that's good. It doesn't sound like anything major, just something to help out.
Can you hear me? You can hear me okay? I don't think so. I'm pretty loud. You can hear that.
Okay. Hey, did I show Dom my great grandson group?
No.
Back in the grandson first grade.
They're still working on the D report. He is on that committee. Oh, it may be with the committee that's working on those. They've got we're not going to have those finished probably until the end of the year, but they're still working on getting all the bugs kinked out so that we can do the votes. Because that's one of the ones that deed restrictions have to be voted on by residents. We can't just approve them when you can on ACC board. I think he's also working on the ACC rules. They need to be.
Hi, Linda. Can you hear me?
Things from the city with the city.
I hear you.
And so we need to make sure.
Okay. Hear you.
Guidelines kind of work together. Yeah, and that'll prevent the pet like we have to force it through that.
All right, I'll be muting everybody when the meeting starts, but in the meantime, hello, Dolores.
Hi.
You can hear me, okay?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Can everybody hear Dolores?
I do.
Okay, great.
Okay. I was just saying, we'll be muting everybody as soon as the meeting starts.
Okay, that sounds good.
Thank you. Hi, Carol. Welcome.
Hey there.
Hi, Carol.
Hi there.
Hi, Carol. Hello, Dolores. I only met Dolores.
Hi.
Carol, I told everybody else I will mute everyone as soon as the meeting starts.
Okie dokie.
Somebody else?
Hi, Terry.
Your wealth punch, you're going to your trustee book, bylaws, rules and regulations, policies, you people test, and whatever data was, throw the opens up.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. I know nothing.
You're alive, apparently.
God, you should have been there for the PNACC meeting last week, and this morning. I'm glad to win this morning.
I
won't
be there.
You know, they never did.
Well,
since I've been.
Which putting up. That's why we had the PLM last week.
The Zoom would be nice.
Yeah.
We have to bring it up. We have to get it done. So it's kind of.
Someday over the rainbow.
I'll take care of that. For you folks on Zoom, everybody in the hall can see you. You need to put some shorts on.
Turn this on.
Yeah, it should be on. Yeah, you're right.
I would like to call the meeting to order. Before I was so rudely interrupted, I was going to say, please disarm your telephones. I'd like to call the meeting of the Port Malabar Holiday Park Mobile Home Park Recreation District to order at 1:31 here on the 6th of July. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings on our country, who celebrated 245 years. We appreciate the opportunity we had to celebrate our freedoms and thinking about those who served in the military and gave their lives. Everything we have comes from you, your gracious hand. You have blessed us abundantly. Bless our community of Holiday Park. Bless those who serve us in many ways. There are any number of people who give selflessly to our benefit. Let us thank them for their service. Lord, we ask you to bless us in our meeting today and the many things that are on our agenda. Help us to make the decisions that bring honor and glory to your name. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Join me for the pledge. I was asked to say, gentlemen, will you please remove your hats?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Who's doing roll? Oh. Calling the roll, Jack Emmerich here, Carol Summers.
Present.
Cheryl Moore.
Absent.
Keith Richer.
Here.
Paul Goblick.
Absent.
James Zellner. Here. Kay Allen.
Absent.
Terry Steimer.
Here.
And Cherie Morris, district manager, is here. I know what I'm looking for, but I haven't found it. I wanted to read, and if I find it along the way here, I'll read it to you so you have the full thing. But at the recent ACC meeting, they approved and sent out a stop order on 465 Holiday Park. Pardon me? That was changed. Anyway, the committee members followed through. That was part of our discussion of last week at the town meeting, where no official business took place, but lots of heat and light and discussion took place. I just want to comment that several letters have come to the board, and I thank some of the board members who called me to say, what are we going to do about this? And I said, what? And I said, well, I didn't get whatever you're talking about. And so the person looked at it and said, well, it's not your email address that it was sent to. That's why you didn't get it. So I got a copy forwarded to me. But those issues that people are raising from time to time, if we don't have any specific facts and not just hearsay, we will not address them. Okay? I just want people to be clear. We're not going to deal with innuendos and so-and-so said, that's not our business. So I want you to be aware of that. Okay, let's move to item 6. Whoops, let me have a couple more minutes. After E and F on workshop items, I want to add an issue about Zoom meetings, so that where we're talking about summer meetings for July and August and the board meetings moving back to 7 o'clock, add Zoom meetings as an issue there.
Check, 1, 2, check, check.
Mine works.
We just need to talk. When you talk into your mics, make sure you get close up.
I don't know what that's going to do. Okay. Items I mentioned, summer meetings is E on the agenda. Item F is board meetings. And after F, we will talk about Zoom meeting. Okay? Then an H has been added. And there might be something new here that happened this morning, but we'll see. We'll just at least have 465 Holiday Park on the agenda. That's the new place. Add that, please. It's not on there. These are additions. I saw puzzles. People were trying to find those things. No, you're writing them there. Okay. Then I, as an addition, we have 2 ACC candidates to install today, Ron Foote and Bob Burns. And then J, an item that came from the ACC meeting this morning. The ACC is going to write up all the violations on the properties and turn those into the office for documentation and notification. The ACC will do that. So Cherie will not be driving around in her cart looking for violations. Yes, that's why it's on here, for Jay. Okay, now let's see if all my notes are covered here before I say let's move on and then say we can't move on. All right, approval of minutes 6/14/2021. Looking for a motion to adopt.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes as presented.
I second. Keith.
Moved and second. Any discussion? Any questions from the audience or comments? Okay. Board members, all in favor, raise your right hand. At this point, Carol, you have the thing to read to the candidates.
I do.
Cheryl told me you had that.
I do.
Okay. Bob and Ron, you want to step forward to this mic?
I make a motion we accept. You'll read it?
Yeah.
I'm going to read it. I'm going to read the letters that are presented by them. The first one that I'm going to read is from Bob Burns. He's located at 144 Holiday Park Boulevard. I am making an application to serve on the ACC committee. I lived at Holiday Park for about 9 years and moved away about 5 years and have been back in the park for almost a year now. I have done a lot of remodeling work, both in my first house and also in the house that I live in now. I understand the workings of the ACC committee. Signed by Bob Burns. The second application, it says, to the Board of Trustees, please accept my application to the ACC Board. I served for 3 years, and I am very familiar with ACC rules, sunshine law, and our rules and regs of the park. I have many years of experience in management. Signed by Ron Foote. Do we need to make a motion to approve their applications?
Keith made a motion.
I'll make a motion we approve.
I'll second that motion.
Can I just one discussion? And these people were approved by the ACC to present it to us, right? Yeah.
We know that for a fact because I called one of their members to check on this, and they were in the process. So everything is following the regulations. Annette?
Call for the question.
Board of Trustees, all in favor of accepting these two gentlemen for candidates of ACC, raise your right hand. All opposed? 5-0. Okay. Carol?
Gentlemen, will you repeat after me, please? I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support, protect, and defend the Constitution and the government of the United States of America and the state of Florida.
Give them a little bit. Give them some more.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. We're all old. We forget about that, don't we? Raise your right hand. I do solemnly swear and affirm that I will support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the government and the state of Florida. That I am duly qualified to hold office under the Constitution of the state. And that I will faithfully perform the duties of a member of the ACC Board of the Port Malabar Holiday Park, Mobile Home Park Recreation District, on which I am now about to enter. So help me God. Thank you. Yay!
Thank you, gentlemen, for responding to a need that we have. And it's an important need and role to fill, as you are well aware of the potential for new units being brought to our park. So we want everything to move smoothly and flawlessly and correctly. District manager's report.
Okay, I think everybody can see that the sidewalk replacement has commenced. They have started on Mystic and will continue through the Grove. We will keep you informed with a map of their schedule for the remainder of the installation in the park. The pad for the exit gate control box and arm are installed. We received the final draft from the LED signs on Friday. We will be scheduling a date for all three contractors to meet with the electrician this week. This is to include the security camera installation. The rear pond fountain is not performing to its maximum. I have called lake doctors. I'll follow up this week and get them out here. Sketches and ideas for the lobby refreshment area have been posted. This will commence probably in another week. Jose is an integral part of this, and he just had eye surgery, and I had hip surgery. So we're both on the mend, and it will commence shortly. We will get it done this summer. I spoke with Mr. Linhart, owner of 465 Holiday Park Boulevard. He did attend the ACC meeting this morning. The minutes will be out for the board meeting, but speaking with the ACC members, they have come up with ideas and how they're going to fix the violations, and they're going to move forward with that. So the stop work order has been rescinded. So we will be inspecting, ACC board will be inspecting after these changes have been made, and we'll just keep everybody abreast of the situation. Stacy Pollack, I skipped one. That's all right. Stacy Pollack is no longer employed with Holiday Park. I have been reviewing previous applications. I do have an interview scheduled for tomorrow for a replacement. Holiday Park has purchased several tax certificates. One of the tax certificates is for 244 Holiday Park Boulevard. And if you'll recall, that is the owner whose daughter and grandchildren moved in. So they're gone. However, we now have attorney's fees. So not only have we purchased his tax certificate, which he hasn't paid taxes on, we are also putting a lien on the property for all attorney's fees. So it's kind of a catch-22. If he does decide to pay to sell his home, he's going to have to pay off the tax certificate and also attorney's fees to us, to Holiday Park. Diane Bell and myself met with the sound engineer. He has hooked up all the equipment for the audio and Zoom meetings. It's working with no distortion, so this is pretty good. There's no reverb and no echoing. The sound is really quite remarkable. Let's see, everyone must stay muted if they have a computer here in the dining hall. Also, of course, all cell phones must be turned off. And Diane Bell is amazing. She has really put us in the 21st century. So it's refreshing. Thank you, Diane. I continue with my road to recovery. Someone made a comment about I must be money hungry or something to be coming into the park to work. No, that's not the case. I'm clearly and solely looking out for the best interest of Holiday Park, and I mean that from my heart. I do have something I want to read, if I can find it. I, Sheree Morris, hold harmless Port Malabar Holiday Park of all and any liability associated with my right hip replacement. Okay, and it's signed. Not in my report. I received an email from the bocce ball company today. And this is how it goes. We apologize for the delays in your courts. We will be back this week to work on the drainage and the concrete in between the courts and back next week to install the carpet. We will make this right. I apologized again, Edwin Mendoza. So I'm up to here with this, and I'm sure everyone else is. So what we're going to do is wait a couple of days, and if we don't get any satisfaction, we're going to have to litigate. We'll turn it over to the attorney. So This is their last-ditch effort to get it done. And I just want to have some clarification on the separation with Stacy Pollock and the park. After reviewing several applicants for the administrative assistant position at Holiday Park, Stacy Pollock was hired through Manpower, a temp agency. Manpower did a background check and drug test on her. Stacy started work on November 13th, 2020 with a 90-day probationary period. I called Stacy's references. They did not say much other than she was let go during the COVID pandemic. I questioned Stacy as to why she was let go. She said she had issues with a young man regarding COVID. I didn't question this as everything else seemed to be in order. After 90 days probationary period expired, with some trepidation, she was hired on as a permanent Holiday Park employee. Stacy's computer knowledge and organizational skills were a great asset. Shortly after, a staff member had submitted their letter of retirement. I later learned that it was a very stressful working environment and she was very uncomfortable working with Stacy. During this time, I have had numerous complaints regarding Stacy's attitude, unprofessionalism, and insubordination with Holiday Park staff and myself. I had spoken to Stacy on numerous occasions regarding these and several other complaints. I'm not going to list all, and I'm not going to do any mudslinging here. Yes, she has argued with trustees, residents, and staff on all different issues. She had taken the side of a builder who has been in violation with the park and ACC rules. I have documented these conversations. I didn't write her up, as each time I spoke to her, she denied any wrongdoing, and it did get better for a few days. I was hoping in my absence, she would accept teamwork responsibility and step up to the plate. It got worse beyond my expectations. Stacy was terminated on Friday, June 25th, 2021. And that's all I have for today.
Any questions?
I have a point I'd like to make, if you don't mind. Cherie, you know, relative to your sidewalk report, I would like to, if you don't mind, be on the agenda for every meeting until the sidewalks are done so that I can give the residents and the board a more thorough report on the sidewalks, if you don't mind.
I believe that's a good idea. That's what I...
You forgot me.
No, what about, how does the board feel?
That's fine. Terry, there is one thing I'd like to bring up. Some of my people have found pins underneath the sidewalk or close to it. When the people are tearing them up or the sidewalks, could they watch out for the pins, mark them as they put down new sidewalks? Just something to watch out for what they're doing.
When you say pins, what do you mean?
Survey pins.
Survey pins.
Yeah.
Right?
Just,
okay, yeah.
Just have them pay attention to where they are. And because I have people that have told me that they're about an inch under the sidewalk, that one of theirs. I mean, it's close to the edge, but it's something we should be putting a flag by or something so when they re-pour, we can somehow.
No problem.
Okay.
Terry, I think what we might want to do is I don't believe they know what the pins are. So when we come across it, we can show them so that they'll be conscious and aware of it if they do come across them.
Sure. Well, I can tell you that I will make that issue to the contractor so that we can.
Can they pull up the pin and put a button on the screen so that?
How about the microphone? I just got the microphone.
Okay, I don't know about pulling up the pins. I have to talk to the contractor about that, but I can ask him. Yeah.
Any other comments? If not, let's move along to A9A, approval of the 2020 audit.
We received the audit, about 3 weeks ago or a month? Anyway, all the board people have had it. Is it online yet? I don't know.
Yes, it should be.
Yeah, it should be online. Basically, it's a 34-page report. I'm going to read the last page or partial of it. This is from Suplee, Shee, Kramer, and Rockland Public Accountants. And it basically says, we have examined the Port Malabar Holiday Park Mobile Home Park Recreational District compliance with Section 218.415 Florida statutes regarding the investment of public funds during the years ending September 30th, 2020. Management is responsible for the Port Malabar Park Holiday Park Mobile Home Park Recreation District compliance with those requirements. Our responsibility is to express an opinion on the Port Malabar Holiday Park Mobile Home Park Recreational District compliance based on our examination. Then jumping down a paragraph, because the rest of it's kind of just some excrement. In our opinion, the Port Malabar Holiday Park Mobile Home Park Recreational District complied in all material respects with the aforementioned requirements for the year end September 30th, 2020. I'd like to submit the audit. Or do I make
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Any questions from other board members? Any questions from residents? I know it was a fun reading experience. I don't know why there's so much said in 30-some pages and how much of it's understandable by the common lay person. Yeah. I hope
just what I read, at least.
We appreciate your reading. Okay. All right, I will call a motion to accept the audit as presented. Raise your right hand, board, if you support it. Opposed? Okay. Item B. I can't remember when Karen was here and forgot to ask the board about the bake and craft sale. And I know, but Karen is the one who brought it to us and asked for the board for some direction in terms of the craft and bake sale being open to the public. And that seems to have been precedent. I think the question came about because of the COVID situation. And all the people that are involved with the craft and bake sale are residents. And public is asked if, you know, to be included to come. And so we need direction from the board to say A or nay to this. February 26th, 2022. I think it's the 26th. It is, Becky? Yes. Okay. Everybody send cards to Mike. Okay, awaiting a motion to give direction to the bake and craft sale.
I make a motion that we allow the craft and bake sale to be open to the public with guidelines that we have strict driving and parking enforcement so that the public does not run through the park.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second. Keith. real quick question. This is being run by the HBPOA, right?
Yes. Yeah,
thank you.
Is Karen heading this up, or she is? Okay. I had that assumption, but then when you said, someone said Becky. Okay. You're handling the bake side?
Okay.
February 26th, 2022. A Saturday. Okay, board, let's see if we're ready for a vote. All in favor of allowing the craft and bake sale with the stipulation of good parking direction so we don't have them all over the park, please raise your right hand. All opposed? Okay, basically on item C, I'm looking to see if we have a board member who would be interested to be the contact person in getting the whole Spectrum contract negotiations underway.
Can we start that yet?
I don't know where he is into the picture, but I think he can be identified and counseled.
Jack, may I ask, please, when does our contract actually expire?
2022.
December.
In December? Okay,
so December. We have another year and a half, right?
We have a year and a half. But as it was suggested, this takes time. So the better off to, if we can get started and get people involved with this whole thing, we might be able to move it along smoothly without any bumps and hiccups. So that's why I'm bringing this up at this point.
Okay, I'll volunteer.
Okay,
I'm a sucker.
We have Spectrum, AT&T, and DirecTV. I'm not crazy. In my opinion, I'm not crazy about Direct because you have the dishes and all that. But at least it's three bids. At least we'll know by talking to the different companies. AT&T has all new fiber optics throughout the park. So in my opinion, I think they'd be willing to really negotiate. And same thing with Spectrum. The first contract in my time here was with Donna Arsenault. She was the representative. I have worked with Donna on different properties other than Holiday Park. So I think she's a start. She does this. She's been doing it forever. I don't know if using a middleman is the way to go with this $15,000 startup fee. And then after, I don't know how many commissions he was about to get, but Carol and I will definitely research it. So that's where that guy went.
Comment, Bruce?
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. Cherie, I think why you got something from DirecTV because they're owned by AT&T.
Okay.
And I think that they would be doing the television through the AT&T cables because they're owned by AT&T. I am a DirecTV customer. That's how I know that.
That was the concern is if we didn't go with Spectrum, would we still be able to have a TV channel?
AT&T has fiber optic cables, and I do have AT&T, and I do not have a dish.
We don't have to worry about the dish.
Those fiber optics do work, so it's very nice. And I believe we probably could negotiate a channel.
Do the fiber optics work for the TV as well as just the internet?
Oh, yes, sir. We have AT&T internet as well, and it's very good. Yeah. We have had, you know how sometimes with Spectrum, when you had the rain and stuff and how it would flash and go black, 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 and it would make funny sparkles and your TV would go in and out? We have not had any problems with AT&T at all, and we've just recently gotten them within the last few months. So I'm very pleased with what I see with that program. Unfortunately, we can't answer questions on Zoom because, and I'll bring this up, we were going to talk about it, but I'll mention it right now so this person doesn't feel like we're ignoring them. As of 3 May, the governor has stated that Zoom meetings are no longer liable and that we can hold them if we choose to do so, but we cannot take public comment because that is now illegal per state statutes.
There's more of that coming.
Yep,
just
there's
so
more
you
of that
know.
Coming in the meeting.
Okay. So we have our volunteer from the board to work with Cherie. I was hoping that the office might have the letter and proposal from that fella of some time ago, at least maybe just to consult and see what he has to say. But, I mean, we'll let the committee proceed and do that, but I couldn't find mine, and I didn't have more time to dig through more piles of stuff to see if I have it stashed someplace.
I have it all, Jack. I have the whole file.
Okay. Then I don't. I'm glad I didn't waste any more time. Okay. I have a question on D, the board re-up packets. These packets are for those people who are interested in running for one of the vacant seats, 1, 3, 5, 7, or 9. We read those. I thought I brought it with me, but I didn't. At the little town hall meeting that we had in lieu of a board meeting last week, the vacant positions are 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. One is currently filled by Karen Allen. 3 is my district. 5 is vacant. 7 is Terry. 9 is Cheryl Moore. Just so you know who's in those positions now. Okay?
They will have to be running again also. Because their term ends, so right. They would, so they're all open seats.
And again, the filing starts August 23rd at 12 p.m. and ends August 27th at 12 p.m. You can submit applications as soon as August 9th, and it says they're in a holding period at that point. And they will be formally submitted on August 23rd. Okay? For all you aspiring trustees, pay attention to those dates.
Jack, I just want to interject something. We will have a packet, an information packet, just to make it a little bit easier of how to the fees and so forth in the office by the end of this week. So anyone who's interested, just come on into the office.
Okay, thank you. We sort of had a straw vote on item E of the Board of Trustees for summer meetings. And the recommendation was to go with the fourth Monday, July 26th and August 23rd. I am looking for a motion from the trustees to put that into action.
So moved.
So moved, Terry. Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Any other comments?
That's the next item.
The next one will probably clarify that for you, Karen. I'm glad you're not reading ahead. You're staying with the program. Right. Okay. All in favor, raise your right hand. Opposed? I don't know where we'd get a vote, but I'll ask it anyway. I was expecting, along with item F here, to get a written request in my mailbox, but it didn't come. But I had a conversation, and one of the reasons this is on the agenda to return to 7 p.m. is that if you look out on that board out there in the HIPAA office beyond, Mondays were the time slot for
bell
ringers. And so Eloise talked to me after a meeting and said, you know, this would be a real challenge to find something else. She would upset somebody else's schedule and everybody else's schedule, and, you know, and down the line. So I said to myself, let's just put this on the agenda with the idea that we return to 7 p.m. for the balance of the summer and continue on as our bylaws state. I so move.
I'll second.
Is this just for the summer or from now on? Yeah.
Okay. Back to our old schedule, I guess you'd say. And it makes sense. I'm not even wearing a mask. You should read my lips. Okay. Thank you. Any questions or comments from the audience? Becky.
Becky Ernest, 205 Burrell Circle. I think you're going to need to speed up the meetings or limit more time or something, because our meetings have been going 3.5 and 4 hours, and most people will not stay after 9 o'clock at night.
That's a good motivation.
I think you need to either start them earlier or speed them up.
Yeah. Annette.
Annette Regas, 409. I think going to 7 o'clock is more friendly to our working residents. We've got a lot of new people in the park that still work, and also a lot that have volunteer commitments during the day these times. But 7 o'clock is nice after, as long as I agree with Becky, they don't run on for 3 hours. But 7 o'clock is much better for a lot of new people.
Everybody do their part, we'll move it along. Okay? If I don't recognize some people, you'll know why. We're trying to move it along. Now, the...
We got a call for a question.
Trustees, all in favor of returning to 7 p.m., say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No. I said no, Annette. Proud of it.
Okay, now for an addition here with Zoom meetings, part of the issue. I just heard about this as I gathered here this afternoon, so I'll ask Carol to give us a little explanation of this governor's proclamation or whatever.
Well, it's from my understanding that as of May 3rd, the governor has made the proclamation that Zoom meetings are no longer legal in our open meeting quorum. We can choose to continue to hold them at the direction of the board. However, the drawback is that if you do the Zoom, the residents that are not with us can still hear and see what is going on when we conduct our meetings, but they have no voice because we can't answer them. They can't speak in the meetings.
they get to see what's happening, so they're still up to date on everything, but they can't speak to us because we can't take public comments off of Zoom. So it's a good idea for them to stay informed, but it's a bad idea because they have no voice. And the drawback to the no voice is that if they're not here, they have no voice kind of in a way anyway. But if we choose to continue them, we have to vote as a board to continue them, or we have to vote as a board to discontinue. We want to get your feedback.
Anna Marie.
Anne Marie Ashley, 387 Holiday Park. Just a question. If they're not allowed to speak for themselves, say my friend Ellen is on Zoom and she has a question, she could text me to ask, I could ask the question for her. Would that be okay?
But, Karen, could you come up and speak, please?
How do they know that they asked?
Any open meeting, according to the governor, cannot be open for Zoom any longer as of May 3rd, so it's not a legal question. If they have any comments, they look at the agenda and they send an email to these guys and they can answer and ask the question. Anne Marie can say it's from her and not from Ellen, but she can't say it's from Ellen. That's all.
So we need to make that clear. That
you got to make it clear.
Those
for
people,
anybody on Zoom that has any questions, look at the agenda, send an email to a trustee. If you don't like what I'm saying, there's the door. I'm just telling you what the governor said. This is a legal meeting right here. This is not a legal meeting as of May 3rd. They can see the agenda. They never, ever got to watch this before we started Zoom during COVID. It has to end, or you guys, whatever you want to do.
So I'm going to address this question to you. Maybe you can answer this. If they get our agenda and during the meeting they have a question, let's say, for example, they could email Cherie if she has a laptop open, and they could send an email and she can ask the question.
No, it has to be before
it has to
the
be
meeting.
Prior to the meeting. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to make sure that it was clarified. It would have to be prior to the meeting.
Yeah. That's why we do agendas.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Not
they,
for me.
Real quick, they would get the agenda off the internet?
Internet, yeah. Off the internet.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure we're not sending everybody out.
Just like we used to do before COVID happened and before Zoom happened. And I'll tell you, our sister park does not use Zoom at all. If you're not at a meeting, you're not at a meeting. And you only got two in the summer.
Okay, any other comments?
As long as Cherie and Diane did their magic, why not let it open now?
I'm sorry.
People, you need to be recognized.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. If you look online, you will see Barefoot Bay and some of the school boards and some of the other city councils. They broadcast their meetings, but the people can't participate in it. So it's on TV on our Bright House.
Zoom is excellent. Okay. Was that a legal message? Okay.
It wasn't a question either, though.
Any other? Annette?
Net Vegas 409. Now, I know that they put the agenda and the meeting announcement on both the sounding board and living. Can the people that are not present, such as those that are up north, if they go and see the agenda, then they can submit their question or their comment or concern ahead of time to you all in an email. That's what she just said. Yeah.
Well, I can't hear what you had said, but I said a week ahead. A week. Well, I can't still hear where you're $8,000.
Forget it.
Come on, let's not get into
just
a hassle, okay?
Just make a couple of comments. Number one, correction, it was 800, not 8,000. Number two, it's working. I'm disappointed that people won't be able to fully participate, but at least they can watch and know what's going on. Number three, the pandemic isn't over. We don't know what's going to happen, if we're going to end up in lockdown again, if one of these variants all of a sudden makes us all hide in our houses again for another year. So keep it, my opinion.
Okay, board members, are we ready to cast a vote?
No, we haven't made a motion. I would like to make a motion that we continue with the Zoom program with the understanding that those that are watching via Zoom will not have a voice. If you see our agenda in advance, you are to comment in advance in writing to one of the board members or to the office so that we can have your questions and comments in advance so that they can publicly be addressed to your satisfaction.
Well said. I hope your shorthand is working.
Second.
Second, Terry. Okay.
I like one question. I wish they would have made the motion to the office so we have more of a record that they are coming. Just send any questions presented to the board to the office instead of board members.
I will amend my motion to state that all the comments in advance should be directed to the office so that they could be brought to the meeting. Terry, will you amend your second?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor of the proposed motion to continue with Zoom with the stipulations that were read? Raise your right hand. Opposed? Okay. The next one is a kind of a sounding board item, the pool chairlift, pros and cons. I know there were some questions that my brain heard from Cherie that had come to her. I don't remember who had expressed some concerns, but this is the time for us to hear the pros and cons of the pool chair lift. Trustees?
I have a concern, and I'm going to play devil's advocate, so if I hurt anyone's feelings, it is not meant to do that. Okay? I'm looking beyond the fact that we need to have lifts and beyond the fact that the benefit of the lifts as what could happen to the lifts. They're very expensive to put in, number one. Number two, they're very expensive to maintain. Number three, you must have someone available who knows how to operate them at any time the pool is open. Okay, so we would have to train at least one, if not two, three, or four of our custodial people or office staff to make sure that that piece of equipment is operated properly. Those issues are minute in my mind. My biggest concern is liabilities. If we have this piece of equipment out there, and God forbid, our resident is on it and it breaks down with their little legs dangling in the air, what do? We can't get them off. We can't get them in the water. We can't get them out of the water. We can't move it because it's broken. The trauma that person could have could be irreparable. The other problem that I'm having with them, and I'm not knocking these things because I know that they're viable for people. Ladies and gentlemen, we have grandchildren that come in our park. And we have grandchildren, all of us, I have them myself, who can be very unruly. We do have grandchildren that come to our pools who are unsupervised. They shouldn't be, but we do. My fear is that a child will see this as a toy. And then all of a sudden, instead of it being a lift, it becomes a swing. And we swing into the pool and we go, the child is hurt because it hits the cement. The lift is damaged and broken. And we've wasted $8,000. Those are my concerns. And again, I think they should be addressed. And how, if something happens, what do we do?
Terry.
I think in all of those things that you said, these chairs are bought, sold, and used around the United States, not the world. And that all of those issues can be handled in one way or another. But my concern is the handicapped. And I feel that a handicapped person has the right to use those pools. Any way that we can help them do it would only be a boon for us. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Well, we have two pools. Karen has a question.
Karen Foote, 214 Holiday Park. You cannot put a lift in your first warm pool because of the seat that people sit on. It has to go above the seat, and then you're in deep water. So it can only go into your bigger pool, your cold pool. Because there's no, you know how you got the seat in little pools on the side that everyone sits on? It has to go past that seat. So you need to consider that.
Annette. Annette Ragos, 409 Holiday. I know before COVID, there was discussion of we have some kind of issues with the pools, which COVID, when they were closed, would have been ideal to fix them. But also, I do see a lot of kind of problems with the pool. Is this something that's going to impede it if we have something like that around the pool deck and on the pool? Are the pools in satisfactory condition right now, or do they need further work?
Can you address that, Cherie?
I can. The pools inevitably must be replaced. It's a big money item. I think when working with Kendra and Keith, we're going to figure out our capital expenditures, and that definitely is high priority on the list. It's not inexpensive by any stretch. So having said, how much money do we put into them now? Do we resurface them at the tune of $15,000 or $20,000? I don't think so. I think that, again, this is a capital expenditure, and I believe this is going to be the next big item that the park is going to have to invest in. So I think the repairs, if we have a leak or something like that, a pump goes out, yes, we certainly need to maintain those items. But any major replacement, I don't think it's in the best interest of the park at this time.
Joanne.
Joanne Gagan, 241 Berry Court. I think if the pools or one or both, well, one pool has to be replaced, you might want to think about reconfiguration in that the more modern pools that are being built are start out with a gradual decrease so that anyone who needs to children, handicapped, can slowly walk in.
And then you wouldn't need the lift.
And then it goes. And that, I think, would be beneficial to many people. And you would eliminate steps as well. But that's the way the modern pools are being built. And I think that's something we should consider and look into. And the only objection I heard, and I didn't hear it, I heard it secondhand, was that someone who aids the handicapped was thrilled with the idea of having that lift put in so that she could bring in her outside clients to use them.
No, no.
Let's go on.
But I'm in agreement with Joanne 100%. That's the way to go. That eliminates disabled issues, disability. It really does. It accommodates absolutely everyone. So when it comes time, perhaps we can get a committee together. It may be sooner than later. We certainly have a good base financially to start with. So I think that definitely is one of the top priorities.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. I have a question. The city pool over here, do they have a lift in it?
If you've been there, I don't know.
They what? Okay. I think that's what they're doing. And I think if at this point we should table this discussion. If we were going to redo the pools, then you put the gradual slope so they can get in the pool. I would be in favor of having this tabled at this time and not spending the money for a lift.
Do we have any other opinions?
Number one, I really don't understand the situation.
We need your name and address.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Liz Garchea. I live at 1056 Wood Court. I don't understand the situation with worrying about people's grandchildren coming in here and swinging on them. They're outsiders.
We're still
I'm an insider. Doesn't matter. I'm an insider. I've made my way into the pool and out because I bought an apparatus that gets me in and out. But for everyone else in this park who is handicapped, I just don't understand why there's even a hesitation. The lifts are not expensive. They're not expensive, not according to the money that's spent in this park. And also, I believe that they are controllable by the person who's getting on and off. I don't think that there has to be any extra employees to do it. I've done some research on it. Okay. So, and I think that you would have a lot of people coming into the pool who don't come out now.
Thank you.
Wayne Adams, 1143 Greenview. I would just like to know, when did Holiday Park turn into a rehabilitation center? Thank you.
Please, let's be civil. We can have different opinions. Doesn't have to get nasty, or we'll close the meeting.
Could we, and this is a stupid question because I don't know the answer, if we put the pool lift in, and I'm saying if, it would have to be put in and mounted to the existing surface, which means we would have to do some surface repair, right?
Absolutely. And not only will we have the expense of the lift, we'd have to hardwire it. So we'd have to have an electrician in. I'm looking at the pros and cons as well. And I've called around and I've spoken to several of the hotels in the area. Now, the maintenance, that is something we absolutely cannot maintain in-house. We do not want that liability under any circumstances. So given that factor, there's a lot to consider, Liz. There really is. I don't know anything about that. You may be right. Well, we have the maintenance that we need to consider, the electric, you know, the cost of hardwiring it, and also we don't want it to be portable. Whichever pool it goes in, it has to stay. So these are things that all have to be considered.
Okay. Any new expressions?
Got one, Dave.
Yes.
And
can't see. Oh.
Chuck Roan, 220 Burrell Circle. You know, I think people at their point in their life, when if they realize they can't swim, they can't take care of themselves in a pool, stay out of it. There's nobody likes water more than I. I lived in a creek all my life, and I love to swim. But I know if I get in that pool, I could drown, and I'm not ready to die. I just celebrated 90 years, and I want to go another 20. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't. Will you guys quit interrupting my celebration? I don't think we should have it. You know, I'm like him. Why should we go to the expense? You know, there's God. You can spend all the money we have in the world, but you know, it's getting ridiculous. It is getting ridiculous. I love to swim, but I can't.
Next, Jim, did you have?
Jim, did you have something?
Go ahead.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. I want to see everybody be able to swim if they can, but this is bringing up a lot of issues. To go back to the construction, number one, you're not going to put it in the cold pool because that means nobody can use it in the winter. That's a total waste of money. Regardless, if you put it in the warm pool, you got to pour a big concrete pad to support this. Am I right? You just can't screw it to our flagstone out there. You got to pour. This is a lot more expensive than you think. It's got to be wired. It's got to be all of this. I really think that where we might be replacing the pools in the immediate future, that we should table this at this particular time.
Hi, I'm a disabled veteran myself, and I can fully feel sympathy for anyone that is and has a problem, but also as a lifeguard for many years, and I work the pool. I can say without a doubt, you absolutely have to have someone to help you to get it. It's not self-serving chair. They're made of plastic. When they get wet, they get slippery. Most people in this condition do not have the arm strength or the leg strength to lift themselves out of the chair and onto this chair that goes into the pool. So now you're creating a second problem. I love the idea of having a ramp that goes down slowly. I think that's the solution ultimately. And we found in our pool when we did put in, they were built that way. When they put in the lifts, that it did not satisfy the need of the disabled, and they had to put in a ramp. And that ramp took up and was a big pool. I mean, if you put in a ramp here, it's going to take out a third to a quarter, half of the pool is going to be a ramp. So you have to keep that in mind, okay? And I hope the leveling pool that we said is gradual would be a great solution so everybody can use it properly. Thank you.
Okay. The chair will now close the discussion till some future time. Ron, do you have anything to share on 465 from your meeting today? It's not on the agenda. It's one of the things we wrote on there. He's still there. Okay. Bill?
Bill and Ed's 1256 Shell Court. We had a meeting today, and we decided to lift that order after we talked to the gentleman and his contractor, and he told us what he understood the readings of our laws are. And according to our laws, they're right. So we had to rescind the order. So, any questions?
Do you think we have a better understanding with them now?
Yes, yes. They were very happy when they left the meeting. You know, we both agreed on certain things, and they were very happy when they left the meeting, and they're going to take care of what they need to take care of, and we'll go on from there. When they're done, we have to do the final inspection.
Did they apologize for the cursing and all that they did to people?
I didn't know they did that. They didn't mention that, Jack. Okay.
So just out of curiosity, is it a viable house if at right now that they can correct pretty much everything to come into compliance?
Yes, absolutely.
I know they got stuff to do, but it's things that can be fixed.
There are things that can be fixed. It's not.
That's all I need. That's all I need.
Basically, the steps is the biggest thing. They need to pour. We're actually going to use our pavers underneath the steps because right now the steps are leaning to one side. He's already corrected the back steps. He's already corrected that and put pavers down. We had a question about the back steps being too far over the easement. Well, there's nothing in our law that says you can't put the steps in an easement because they're removable. They're not permanent. So. We learned a lot today at that meeting. I learned a lot today at that meeting. We need to make changes to our roles, to our laws, to make them more clear exactly what needs to be done.
What about the storage units that's there? It is blocking a window, a bedroom window. Are they going to move it?
He's going to the fire department and the city, and they have said that you can block a window. As long as you have another window, there is a second window in that bedroom, and you can block that window. Okay. So they're going to block. Once again, I think it's wrong. I would never do it to my house, but they according to the law, he's going to get a letter from them stating that they can't block that window.
Okay, the reason I was asking, because having not been in there, I had no way of knowing that there was a second window.
Right.
So if that was the only one, then they couldn't do it, right?
Okay. Right, because I had questions about just blocking that window. I mean, it's not what I would do, and it's not what I've done in the past. So, but they said that the city hall, the city planner, and the fire department both agreed that they can block that window.
So, do we have all the missing documents? I know one of the questions was we didn't have the liability insurance documents and the other. Paperwork that we needed in the file, has that all been corrected?
No. No, I didn't know anything about this paperwork not being missing.
Okay,
mentioned anything about it.
Would they be more than willing, do you think, to meet with us again so we make sure that the permits and everything are updated and that we're all on the same page, that their applications are all active and their permits are all active so that the construction can continue and the house can be completed?
Yep.
Okay.
I would think they'd be more than willing.
Okay. All right, we have a question.
Okay.
You can't put two cars on that driveway. We've had a car, we took it up there, put it in the driveway, you get out of the car, it's close, but you can get out of the car, and there's enough room for another car behind it. So you can't get two cars in the driveway. We actually test it. No. One was a Ford Mustang.
Bruce?
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. I'm on the committee that is redoing all of the ordinances and things in the park. We have met twice now with the ACC committee. We were in there today when we heard this discussion. It was a very good discussion between the owners, the contractors, and us. What I see is it's nobody's fault. We have things in our ACC rules and regulations that have to be changed. Some of Palm Bay rules are different than ours. And we're going to have to update this. Like we have our driveway and the ACC rules is 11 feet. I think it has to be made 12 feet. We have to accommodate these new stairs that are bigger than they used to be. After the hurricanes, the houses were raised higher, which means there's more steps to contend with. That's one thing. One of the problems we also ran into at this meeting was we were informed that the city of Palm Bay gave them a permit for the house on the property, which I don't understand. Then they had to have a second permit for the driveway and the utility room. I don't know why it isn't all in the same plot plan. The plot plan I looked at did not have the driveway and the carport on it, which is totally ridiculous. One of my rules that we're going to do, and we're having a meeting tomorrow on this, I don't think that the ACC should issue a permit unless we have a complete plot plan with the house, with the driveway, with the utility room, and with the carport roof. It has to be complete before it is approved by ACC. The city of Palm Bay will not issue a permit until ACC issues our permit. But there are other things in there, too, which we have to change. And that's what we're working very hard on. In fact, we're having a meeting tomorrow at my house with the same committee that's going to go over this. If anybody's got any suggestion, let us know.
Ron Foote, 214 Holiday Park. I was at the meeting this morning, and it went pretty well. There were some questions on the utility shed, and he's going to come in with a surveyor and survey the right property line, right side property line, because we feel that the corner of the shed is going to be in the easement, and that's not allowed. And he said if it is in the easement, he would move it. And he didn't have all the, when they applied, I got involved when I was off the committee. They were putting the mobile in, and they wanted me to go over and check it, wanted help with it. I actually talked to the contractor, which I don't believe was the same guy we talked to today, and he only had the contract to build the mobile that's in there now. He subcontracted the carport, the driveway, and the shed. Utility room shed, whatever you want to call it. And he said that was up to the subcontractor to get the permits. And we got the paperwork. There is permits for them. They're a digital permit. They're not the permit like what we have, but he didn't apply through the ACC to get them. He just went ahead and did it. And I blame that on Palm Bay because they're supposed to follow our rules. Our rules state that they have to come to the ACC first, get their paperwork in, and get it approved. Then it goes to Palm Bay, not the other way around. And we didn't have, and I still don't think we have the contractor that's there working now. I don't believe we have his insurance paper, and that's part of the requirements. We got, I believe we have his contractor's license number, but we don't physically have his contractor's license.
So did we ask them for those, or can we ask them for them before their work continues without being ridiculed or offensive by them? I mean, I don't want to hurt their feelings or anything, but we need to make sure that what we do is correct and what they do is correct too.
Right. Yeah, we can ask for it.
Can you get a list of the stuff? Can you get a list of stuff that you don't have in the file and just present, we need these kind of things?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can rescind it, but if we could get a list, because like you're saying, we're working together, so everybody gets, but everybody needs in writing and a list of what they have to do, I think.
Right.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions? Or?
I just want to say that I apologize for that. It is the responsibility somewhat of the office. I apologize for not having those documents. This is the first time this has happened to me, and it won't happen again, and I'll be sure to have all the documents by the end of this workday today by 5 p.m.
Thank you.
Okay. I think I, on the added items, was Ron Foote being installed as a ACC member, and we took care of that with he and Bill earlier. Now we have one other action that came from the morning meeting where the ACC asked to do the writing up of violations in the park. And then they would be turned into the office, and then they would be processed as they normally were. So this is a change that the board needs to address. Do we have a motion, first of all?
I make a motion that the ACC take responsibility for, is it, for violations, not just new homes or old homes, but all homes. I guess I have some discussion on, but I'll make the motion to get us started.
I just want to add the, I think it's wonderful. I'm willing to help 100%. We do need some clarification. If we have applications for rentals, applications for new homes, I don't know. I don't know if that would be part of the ACC violation inspections. I would think we would continue to do that in the office because we would be contact. I just want a clarification. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
I didn't hear a second.
I'll second the motion for the discussion.
Okay, now do we have any board questions?
Yes, I would. Is this, if the ACC gets it, are they going to have basically one person looking or two people? How often are they going to do it? And from what I'm understanding, paperwork goes through the office. The actual inspection goes to the ACC. And then the results of the inspection come back to the office, who will report it. And that's what I'm understanding that we're doing. My only question is how often and who does it? And is it just the sunshine laws, one or two? Yeah, that's all my questions.
I see hand gestures that says Mr. Foote is nominated to do the inspections. Pardon me? Keep in mind that this gentleman is rules-oriented. Got it?
Ron Foote, 214 Holiday Park. I think it's a group as far as the ACC. It shouldn't be allowed or put upon just one person. It's going to be time-consuming, and I know we can't talk to each other, but they can go out and do it and bring it back and report to Sheree or whoever's in the office to take care of it. The other problem that we got is the fine system. There's supposed to be a fine system, and there's supposed to be a list of what the fines are for what violation. And the ACC hasn't got one, and I haven't seen one in the rules and regulations of the park. So if there is such a what do you want to call it, paper out there, we'd appreciate knowing what we're doing and what we can fine people for and all the stuff to go with it. I mean, we're going to try to get the park back in order and having it look good and having people following what they're supposed to be doing. we should have the list of violations and what we could do with them.
Yeah. Now, my thought there would be that, yeah, you would find the violations, but the office would do the letter and the fining and putting the stuff on. You'd just take care of what's in violation, and the office would take care of what's being, you know, how much should be fined and that kind
but
of
thing. But I think it should be public notice, public knowledge of what the fines and fees are. I mean, if a homeowner decides that they don't want to do the weed into the garden, but it's okay for the park to come in and do it for $40 and they're willing to pay it, that's fine. But if you got a homeowner who can't afford the money and he just realized that all of a sudden my weeds are too tall and I'm up in Canada or up in northern New York or something, he can call somebody to park and have it weeded.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get to. So they know, you know, everybody should know what the fines are.
You're not just saying the ACC needs to know, but it's nice information to have to pass on.
The whole park should know.
Yes. Whole park, yeah.
I was going to call on Bruce because if anybody would have the old fine system or whatever, he would.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. This is going to be a major change in our park, the way that this is all handled. We had a three-hour meeting last Thursday in that room. We had a two-hour meeting today. All of us are meeting at my house tomorrow at 2 or 2:30 or whenever we're going to meet. We are going to go over the new rules and regulations for ACC. We do have a fine structure that is set up, approved by the attorney, and that's what is in the office right now. I don't think anybody's ever been fined. There will have to be major changes made in our deed restrictions on this also, which will not be done until fall. We are presently working on deed restrictions also. This is a major change, and the ACC has stepped up and said they're going to do this. I thoroughly support them doing it. I wish them a lot of luck. either one of us have no hair. It will leave Cherie to do other jobs and other duties that she can do running the park and in the office. This will take off the day-to-day routine that she has to go out and check on somebody's garden or weeds in the gutter or what the hell ever else the other rules are. The ACC can handle this and just send a memo to the office and have a letter sent out. So she doesn't have to go out and check on these things. She will still do the rentals and the new owners moving in and all of that stuff to make sure the houses comply with our rules and regulations. Anybody got any questions?
Yeah, I have one question.
Yes.
Why is not, I mean, I understand Sharia will be taking the permits or taking the forms for the rentals and new owners, but why wouldn't the ACC actually be going out to look to see they comply and then coming back to the office? So she is still going to do those inspections.
She's going to do the rentals and the new houses, right?
Okay. I'm just asking because
I mean, it's still in the works right now, and we haven't got the wording down. So it's a work in progress. Any other questions?
To the phone, please. Microphone.
So that people on Zoom can hear. Thank you.
Amory Ashley, 387 Holiday Park. My question is this. If I'm going to sell my house, from this park is going to come to my house to make sure it has no violations before I sell it? Okay.
Wait a minute. My answer is, and we've been over this a number of times, I don't think the park has any right to tell you can sell your house. Whatever. It's the new owner's responsibility to come to the office, and it's their responsibility to say the house is up to code. Absolutely. That's my opinion. What? What are you shaking your head no for?
Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but when they put an application in to purchase, to rent, the home is inspected before the sale and before the lease is, where they can sign the lease
Wrong.
All day long.
Wrong. I can buy a house in
this park. That's not how we do it.
I can buy a house in this park and you don't know anything about it. And then I come into the office and say, I'm the new owner of this house. I need a decal on my car. And then you run out and check the house. Just like if you buy it at auction from the Brevard County, if you buy a house at auction, you own that house and you're coming in here to get the decals. Or that's when we find out that you got to go out and see if the house is in violation. It's not up to the person selling the house to make sure that it's up to date. That's not their job.
I kind of disagree with that.
Yeah, that's not how we do it.
I'm not disagreeing with you to be hateful, but when you sell a piece of property, items have to be disclosed. So if you sell a piece of property that has a bunch of violations and you know about them and you don't tell that new owner, you can get your tit in the ring, or pardon the expression, because anything that has to end up costing that new owner potential money should be disclosed, should it not?
That's true. That's true on major things, but I think we're talking weeds in the garden or something hanging off the house.
No, I'm not. We're talking about busted. A violation is busted skirting. And if you don't disclose that, that's going to have to be repaired. That's going to cost you $5,000 up front, and they don't know it. And then they come in and go, oh, I can't move in until I fix this, and I don't have the money to fix it because I just bought the house.
I agree to a certain extent, but at the same time, I also realize, you can buy a house at auction, and that's what you bought.
Well, that's a different concept.
I know.
Real quickly, since I've been – I think Bruce is right in the fact what's legal is legal. You can buy it and sell it, and we don't know anything about it. But as a courtesy – when you come and they want to put something up for sale, we do go out and inspect. We try to keep it people. We don't want mad people buying houses. We don't want somebody getting caught. So we do go out and inspect when we find out about it and say, this stuff, in order to get a decal, in order to move in, you need to have this stuff. It's up to between the buyer and the seller who's going to take care of it before they get any permits from us. But we don't charge for that. It's just a matter of making everything easier. It's not, we're not talking legal here. We're just talking being courteous, making everything go smooth as we can.
And it really does help the park too, because these violations are corrected. So in addition to our normal inspections and violations, there's a lot out there, I know, but this helps us keep things in intact. This helps us keeps the violations minimal, hopefully, but we're able to, when we're issuing decals, we inspect. And if they're not, if they're full of weeds, if it needs power washing, if there's trees grown out of the gutters, it's a good tool for us.
I think with the new rules and regulations that we're putting in for the ACC and with the cooperation of ACC, that once these rules are put in place and they start going through the park and making a list of violations on these houses, I think that we will be correcting a lot of this so that when a house is sold, we won't have a problem with it. And that hasn't been happening in the past, which is unfortunate. We have a lot of houses in this park that are in direct violation of the ACC rules and regulations. And I think that's what we got to start right there and correct.
Bruce, every home that's sold is inspected. We get an estoppel from the title company.
Right.
They pay us to do the estoppel, and that includes violations. If there's a violation, and if a title company is involved, we don't give them the clearance, which means they can't close until a case in point. We have one house right now that I have to go out and inspect after the meeting. They had no numbers on the mailboxes, on the mailbox, and the flower beds were full of weeds. It's like, no, we're not going to sign off on the estoppel. Furthermore, if you go ahead and go with the sale, they're not going to get a decal. So, well, I'm up north and I can't get down there. Well, that's not my problem. You need to have somebody call your real estate agent, call your title company, have them do it. But we keep a really good handle on that, and it is a good tool.
I will compliment Sheree. She's been trying to get this under control. Absolutely. But it's our rules and regulations that have to be updated. That's the big thing.
And And the I know there's violations in the park, but a lot of them are grandfathered in. They what? Yeah, well, that's right. No, I know what you're saying, and I agree. I'm just saying. No, if they snuck it in 5 years ago, I understand that. Yeah. We have forms for that too.
Okay. I think we've exhausted that issue. Good luck, ACC, on your new task. All right, moving on to public comment. Yes, come to the mic.
Yeah, I'm reasonably new here in the last 6 or 7 months.
And can you state your name and your residence?
Michael Johnson, 166 Holiday Park.
Thank you.
And I'm a regular out there on the Zoom land. But I had a question. I looked on the website and I looked in some of the documents to see if there wasn't an emergency plan in the event of a severe hurricane or tornadoes. And then secondly, I looked for a shelter in place plan. You know, would this building be open if in the event there was a, because on the National Weather Service said you're not supposed to be in a manufactured home in a severe storm. So I didn't know if any thought had gone into that at all. Maybe I just didn't see it's out there.
We do not have a shelter in place on our piece of property. This building is not classified as a shelter because it is not classified hurricane proof.
No.
So therefore, if they do call for an evacuation, which they have done several times, I understand, we do have several hotels in the area that are hurricane proof that do give you a break if you have to go in there, and they are animal compliant, so you can take an animal if you have to. Okay. I know that the Comfort Suites up here is one of them that's pretty good. No? Okay. I was told they were good, but I've never been there. The Holiday Inn just down the road. Okay. So we do have several that are designed for that. But we...
Okay. And then one final comment that you guys look pretty good on television.
Well, I just want to interject. A lot of times you don't know until the last minute. So make sure if there is an evacuation, a mandatory evacuation, be sure to check with your local TV stations because it does absolutely change. And make sure you find out if they're pet friendly, if you have pets. And we have a printout that we have in the office.
Net Regis 409. I remember one meeting, Jack, that you had asked Paul to become the kind of trustee that would gather information regarding the hurricane season. Paul.
Yes, and he did.
Well, we're in July now. Has he gotten any information for us? Because he's apparently we haven't, because we need it.
I thought I read that you didn't take the job.
Oh, he didn't take the job?
That's my understanding.
I thought he did.
I thought he did, too.
I thought he did. He was supposed to. He said yes to it, getting the information. Well, we need it, so where is he now?
All right.
Is that called studying the situation?
Any other comments?
Annette,
if
you have any information you'd like to share regarding the hurricanes, we would certainly enjoy it.
Annette, sweetie, why don't you come back up to the microphone, please?
Net Regis 409 Holiday. One of the things right now is to inquire. There's a lot of people that have special needs. They're unable to get around with mobility issues, such as my husband, he needs oxygen. If you have special issues, the one thing you have to do is register early at some of the special hurricane facilities. You have to be registered for it for a spot. Most of them, if you do have pets, they do not accept pets. So that you'd have to make arrangements. But the special ones for special needs, where they make sure they have electricity for people that need oxygen especially, now is the time to get it. And one of the things I believe is the Department of Senior Aging or Health First is big with the connection to call up and find out. And that's what I thought he would have now, because you need that. And also they tell you what facilities, evacuation facilities, if you do have pets, that you can go to with them.
Okay. Now, Terry, you had something?
No.
Okay.
You
Jim?
You weren't going to fill us in on the sidewalks?
Not today.
The sidewalks, you know, I can fill you in on the next meeting that we haven't gone extremely far with the sidewalks considering the situation with the rain and the storm. We've gone from the entrance to the area when you take the turn in from the gate around to Chiswick. Today the guys are working. They're forming from Chiswick around the entrance to Chiswick around to the trailer gate. They'll have that form today. They're calling for cement for Thursday. So that's where we are. I feel like a part of the group, you know. They're doing the area around Chiswick, and then the street I live on is Burrell. What street do I live on? Anyway, they're doing all that outside work. The next, they'll do the center of Chiswick, the center. Then they'll proceed up to Holiday Park Road. So I am going to all the homes prior to them coming there to let them know they're coming in about some sort of time frame to expect them. So that's where I am today.
Okay. Any other trustee comments or remarks?
Yeah, I've got one.
Moving right along. Oh. Go ahead. Run.
Sherry, can you please give us an update on our squatters at 437 Holiday Park? I know that they're still here. I thought they were supposed to go to court this past month to explain how they can live there for 2 years with no water and other issues, and they're still here. What's happening?
I have a call into the attorney. It was supposed to have gone in front of the judge in June. So we're the first week of July. As soon as I hear from him, I will let everybody know what's going on. It's close. It's very close. And this has been going on for a year and a half. I mean, this is ridiculous. Why the health department, code enforcement, DCF. I've called every agency and they all have said, oh, well, here, you can refer them to this place to get them free housing and they will help them move. No, we want them out. So that combined with the pandemic, it's been a very slow process. But having it go in front of the judge with the documentation that we have now, it should be a slam dunk at this point. So it's real close, Carol. Real close.
Thank you.
Keith,
thanks for coming. The way to shorten the meeting is to keep the comments down and the talk non-scheduled talk. Thank you.
I have nothing more to say other than to hear a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, raise your hand.
Yay!
Thank you for coming.
Thank you to everybody who checked in on Zoom. I appreciate your participation.
I want a certificate for having the shortest part of the agenda. We have it right on, no talking. We go to Monado. I read it.